2025 meeting of the Sussex County Council. We'll call the meeting to order, and first is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon, members of council. At this time, I see no recommendations to today's agenda.
Okay, are there any changes, additions, or amendments? None, will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley. I vote yes, motion carried. Next is the approval of the September 23rd, 2025 meeting. Are there questions, additions, or deletions? Hearing none, this is approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. There are two letters. One is from Autism Delaware, and the other is from Delaware Seashore Preservation Foundation, each thanking council for their support.
Thank you. Next, public comment. Time for public comment. You'll have 3 minutes to make a statement about something the county has clear jurisdiction over. And when the green light comes on, you'll have 3 minutes. When the amber light comes on, you'll have 2 minutes. And when the red light comes on, I'm going to ask you to wrap. Okay, first, Rich Brasso.
Morning, Mr. President, Council. My name is Rich Brasso, and I'm from Milton. So every 2 years, the Department of Transportation develops a six-year capital transportation program. On September the 8th of this year, the Council on Transportation released the draft for the new six-year April 27 through 32 capital transportation program for public comment. What you have coming around you is some observations that I have made. There has been substantial delay and loss of construction dollars dedicated to Sussex County. Sussex is not limited. The state is experiencing the same thing. I want to draw a couple of to your attention. On the sheet right here, it's simply a chart that shows the comparison between the 27 through 30 and the 27 through 32. It identifies the project name, and then in the current DP, what the phases are versus what they're proposing. The numbers 1, 2, and 3 are all very, very impactful relative to the pressure that U.S. is experiencing. I'm not going to dwell on these for your study. Bottom line is, as we look at development throughout the county, capacity is our number one concern going forward. And we see here in most cases of the 38 projects in Sussex County, some of the more critical ones, actually construction dollars and investment laid, in some cases it has operated. The most glaring is example number 6. Where on the U.S. Kings Highway, Dartmouth to Freeman, construction was planned to start 2028, go for 3 years, and be completed. The money is gone. The money is gone through fiscal two, and we don't know beyond that. Bottom line is that I think the council needs to seriously consider a resource, a traffic engineer on the planning staff that works to coordinate with DLDOT in terms of traffic transportation needs throughout the county. Both Kent and Wilmington benefit from their MPOs. We have none. We don't qualify as of yet. To wrap it up, please, seriously, hear the impact of these changes, especially as it relates to projects that are in front today, as well as the next 30 days.
Thank you. Quick question, thank you. Rich. PD and PE, what are your briefs?
Sorry. So PE is preliminary engineering. ROW is right away. C is construction. P is project design. So the very issue will be project design, and then it moves through engineering, right-of-way purchases, and ultimately to construction.
Got it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next okay. Operator, would you check online, please, see if anybody has a comment?
this time, there is currently no line.
Okay. All right. We'll close public comment. Next up is Mr. Todd Lawson, County Administrator.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item is related to Land Use Reform Working Group Recommendation and Report. I am happy to pass down, fresh off the report produced by Arkansas McCormick Taylor. Inside that report, you see the work that took place over the last several weeks to months that the Land Use Reform Working Group conducted, and the 20 recommendations that the working group produced as a result of their work. So just a quick update to let you know that the report was analyzed as of Friday of this past week, and we produced copies. You're the first to see the written copies of the report. And the better or more important date is we plan to have a scheduled workshop next Tuesday. So a week from today, we will have a workshop whereby staff will go through this report, go recommendations, all 20 of them, and hopefully give you enough time in a week's amount to review the report and come ready with questions, suggestions, and you're going to see some recommendations fairly straightforward, some are rather robust, and we will want to seek your preference on how to approach some of those differences and the time and effort it will take for each of them to be considered. We actually took that. If you look in the very back of the report, there's an Appendix B staff constructed to a quick reference on sort of an opinion, I suppose, of what we think the implementation of the recommendations will require. Also, it shows that there are some recommendations that should be considered together because they are they were created by the group and established with the idea that they should together. So that's it for today's update. The report is done. We will make the report available public on our website. We're going to send a courtesy copy to working group members as well, and then announcement in a week. We'll meet in a workshop setting where we're going to spend hours going through the report and the recommendations. So I'll pause.
Are we going to do that? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, should we plan on a long day?
I would plan on several hours. Yes. This is not a dog and pony show where we just talk to you about what the recommendations are. I know all of you have been following this effort, so this is not new information, but this will allow us to go into some depth on each recommendation, the required work that's going to go into implementing the recommendation, and then really what we hope to do is also seek your feedback on the direction you'd like for us to take. You gave us the marching orders several months ago of what the working group was tasked with doing and what they were tasked with addressing. Now they've put forth their best 20 recommendations, and really it's up to you to set the priorities based on those 20.
Okay, and will that meeting be held at the public safety building?
Correct. We're going to try to have a classroom-type setting like yes. We've seen the working group set up, and allows for a little more give-and-take feedback conversation than this setting does. So that's why we're calling it a workshop, and we'll have it on Tuesday. We're still working out the times. Okay. Whether or not we want to start early and seeking your feedback.
Will there be any public input?
It'll be a public meeting, so we will allow public comment.
Okay.
But the real workshop is for you and staff, and we're considering inviting the Planning and Zoning Commission as well. They're going to be part of this effort. A lot of these recommendations will have to come through public hearings that will be held at both the Planning and Zoning level yes. and the County Council level. So it makes sense for them to get up to speed on this work as well.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions?
I have to look up the word onerous.
Onerous? Yeah. Onerous means difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Really.
Substantial.
Difficult. Substantial. Yeah. Beyond substantial, right?
Do we have a goal of coming out of that meeting with some priorities set and some direction or not?
I would think it would be a goal of ours to at least have the feedback from you on where you think we should address our time.
And the timeline and therefore the necessity or lack thereof of trying to pause some things. Right?
Correct. There are some, I believe, in my opinion, there are some low-hanging fruit recommendations that could be implemented in a very short period of time. we could get to work on that immediately. There are recommendations that are going to take months, if not years, to address when you couple together the comp plan work that's going to have to take place with those recommendations. If you want us to get started on that work, then you know that the end goal is much further out.
And we'd be better off to tie the big ones to us or the comp plan upgrade.
It will be a necessity for us to tie it to the comp plan upgrade, or the update, as well as the state strategies map that is being updated as we speak. So that's time that's added, which we're not even in control of. We know the state strategies will be updated by the end of the year.
All right. Well, thank you. You have your county administrator's report?
I do, hopefully. Yes. County administrator's report for October 7th. Item one, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for August 2025 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 195 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of August. Item two, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, the following projects have received substantial completion. Shell's FKA Kent Village plan approval and construction record effective September 23rd, 2005, Welch's Pond, Fieldstone, The Grove at Love Creek, Phase 6, construction record effective September 23rd, and Tanger Woods, Phase 3, construction record effective September 26, 2025. Item 3, it's with great sadness that we inform you that pensioner Janet Hudson passed away on Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. Ms. Hudson began her career with Sussex County in November 1986, where she worked until June of 2015 for a total of 28 years of service. Her last position with the county was Secretary II in Environmental Services. We'd like to extend our condolences to the Hudson family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. That was a lot, and you had a lot going on this morning.
Yes, just
a big rush for you to make it back here on time.
Just reported back from General Assembly in Dover, where they are having their second meeting on reassessment, and our finance director and COO remains up there answering questions for the next 2 hours.
Great. All righty. Thank you. Now it is time for our 12:15 public hearing.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. Now's the time and place for the public hearing that was announced in the agenda, and as for the issuance of bonds to finance projects for Title Health Nanticoke Inc. and certain of its affiliates. There will be a presentation given by Kathy Roth. After that presentation is given, members of the council will have an opportunity to ask questions. After that, any member of the public that would like to comment may do so by coming to the front, give their name, address, and addressing the council. Ms. Roth. Press the button, please.
Good afternoon, President, members of council. The bonds today are being issued by Tidal Health. Tidal Health Nanticoke is a nonprofit health care association operating in Sussex County. They would like to issue up to $185 million in tax-exempt bonds, of which $90 million will be allocated to Sussex County. A portion of these bonds will finance or refinance the acquisition, construction, improvement, and/or equipment for healthcare facilities and other related properties in Sussex County. As you may recall, Tidal Health held a similar public hearing at the council in July. However, they now need to increase the amount they originally held for the hearing. Therefore, this hearing is simply the same hearing on a higher amount. Last time, the amount was $84 million. This time, it's $90 million. As before, in order for the bonds to qualify as federally exempt, tax exempt, the organization issuing the bonds must hold a public hearing in the county where the services are provided to satisfy Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code. It's important to note these bonds are obligations of the nonprofit Tidal Health Nanticoke and not Sussex County government. The county government simply provides a platform for the public hearing for the bonds to be tax exempt. A representative from Tidal Health is present if you have any question. Unless there are any questions, I'll turn it over to Mr. Moore to conduct the rest of the public hearing.
Are there any questions? If not, thank you. Is there anyone here today that would like to address this issue? Is there anyone here today that would like to come forward and address this matter? Seeing none, operator, can you check remotely to see if anyone listening remotely may want to opine?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing and close the public record.
If it's okay with council, we'll close the public hearing and close the public record. Okay, Mr. Moore, do we have a short title?
I believe Ms. Roth.
Ms. Roth, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Be it resolved, Sussex County Council approve in accordance with Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended, the issuance of bonds to finance a project for Title Health, Natticoke, Inc., and certain other affiliates.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Mr. Whitehouse.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of council. Let's load my slideshow. I have a short update for you this afternoon, just on the following the recent public meeting that was held. There was a public workshop last week from the Office of State Planning Coordination on the update that's currently in progress right now to the state spending strategies. And I wanted to provide a very high-level overview. It's a very technical area, and I've tried to keep it as high-level as I can, but while providing some insight on the back and forth that's been happening over the last 12 months between staff and OSPC. So very quickly, council will be familiar with the state spending strategies maps. They're state-level documents, and they're prepared, and they're updated every 5 years. They cover the entire of the state of Delaware, and for today, obviously, focusing on Sussex County. Consultation is undertaken every 5 years as they're updated. This year, and I wish to congratulate the Office of State Planning and Coordination on the technology that's being used as part of the updates. The data we have available to us this year as part of this year's five-year update is much richer and much better, and it allows better analysis, and it also allows for easy submittal of public comments. The public can go on the website, and the public can view the maps, and I'll get into that detail in terms of the methodology and some of the online tools. So here on the screen is a copy of the 2020 state spending strategies that were adopted 5 years ago and have been in use for the last 5 years. And if I zoom to Sussex County, you can see that the strategy levels, which is the red, which is level one, these are your downtown areas. These are the areas that score the highest. This is where investment and spending and development is concentrated because they score higher in the state spending strategies. And then it radiates down to levels 2, 3, and 4. I didn't propose to spend a great deal of time explaining those state investment levels, and I actually printed a handout from OSPC that I can hand out. Thank you, and the handout provides a description of the different areas and the differences between level one and level two and the differences between downtown areas and suburban areas. And also in this update, there's a new policy focus that the state spending strategies are introducing essentially a matrix of what those state spending strategies mean in practice for all the state agencies. So I've circulated that to allow you to digest that. And then just to provide an overview, so here we have on the screen, here is the map of Delaware showing the 2025 investment levels as they are currently drafted. This is the draft version that is currently subject to public comment, and public comment will continue for a few more days. I think the deadline for the submittal of public comments is October 10th. So we have just a few more days if anyone wishes to submit comments. And then if it allows me to enlarge, yes, it does. So here is an enlargement of Sussex County. There have been some changes, and I also have a side-by-side slide to show you the difference that has happened over the last 5 years. But essentially, in short, the level one areas have grown, and that's because infrastructure has increased and development has increased in certain areas, and the state spending strategies have evolved to reflect that. And I'll get into the methodology in a little bit more detail about what's driving these changes. But if you look at the areas that are red, you'll see that there's a westward expansion along Route 9 of the level one areas. You can see there's changes around Georgetown, and there's also changes that have happened in our coastal areas with the westward expansion of level one areas. And then in particular, the most significant change, as far as I could determine, was the growth of the level two areas, and the southeast quadrant of the county, as you come in from our coastal areas, has shifted from level three to level two. And I can show you a side by side. And you can see those differences. You can see that the yellow has been replaced with orange, and you can see that the red areas have shifted slightly. You can see that there's actually some changes around places like Ellendale as well. You can see that there's more level two in this map than there was in the previous 2020 version. And if the map allows me, there's an online tool, so you don't have to just download the PDF version. You can go straight to the spending strategies, and there's this wonderful tool right now where you can just click on a parcel. And not only does it show you the state spending strategies, but it also allows you to click on any parcel. If I just click on this building, for example, it shows you the different investment level that parcel corresponds to where you click, and it also shows you the data that's present. And this is a data-driven exercise driving all these maps, and I'll get into that in just a moment, but it allows you to show you all the factors that have influenced the score and how that score has been arrived at. So it really is a fantastic tool and a great use of GIS software. And if I jump back into my presentation, and jump forward. This is a data-driven exercise. These maps aren't drawn manually by the State Planning Office. They take a lot of data, and they take data layers, and they analyze these using geospatial tools. And essentially, in short, how it works. The list of the bullet points in red, these are the growth factors. These are mapped areas that have boundaries, and you get plus one for every one of these that is present on a parcel. And then the green is the conservation element of the formula. And if any of these exist on your parcel, you get negative one. And then the scores are computed. And then if you are greater than 7 in your score, you get level 1. If you're between 5 and 7, it's level 2. So these are very, very close to one another. And if you get a score between 2 and 4, you're level 3. And anything less than 2, you're level 4. So it's mathematically driven. And then I can show you as well. And then if this link allows me to show you, there is a great tool that they've introduced called a story map, which members of the public can go online and see if it loads. It might need a moment. You can go online, you can see those data sets, you can see these are the growth factors, and you can go through the different data sets, and you can see the mapping of the data sets. And this is where staff have been largely focused on the accuracy of those data sets, and we've been talking to the State Planning Office about various updates. But the map essentially allows you to zoom all the way in and to see if you're in a municipality or if you're in a county growth area, and you can see those annexation areas are all mapped individually. Forward, you can see if you're in a census urban boundary, if you're in a built in and developed area. You can see if you're inside a TID, so you can see that anything inside the Henlopen TID gets plus one, and you can see all those growth factors. And I don't propose to go through all of those today, but just to show you an example of how great the tool is. To summarize the back and forth that's been happening on a staff level, staff have been talking to the State Planning Office since December of last year about some of the data layers, and some of these data layers have been available. And an area where we found agreement and there have been changes is public libraries. In the 2020 version, the radius around public libraries was limited to just 1 mile. And following some back and forth with the State Planning Office, they've now increased that to 3 miles. So you can see that each one of those libraries now has a 3 mile radius, of which everything gets plus one for growth. And then another area where we've been talking to the State Planning Office is in relation to hospitals and the new hospitals that are coming online in Sussex County. The original drafting of the map did not include the Bay Health Emergency 24-hour emergency room on the north side of Route 9. Following discussion with the State Planning Office, they've agreed to include that, and you can see that in the current data version, it is now included. The State Planning Office have not included the Millsborough Emergency Medical Facility campus that's under construction right now because it's not open.
Well, see, maybe this is a good place to interject this, because one of my frustrations, and I express this to the director, is that this seems to be necessarily backward-looking, not forward-looking. I mean, we know that they've broken ground. We just voted again for the bonding, and they've broken ground for that hospital, and yet it's not included in this is a planning exercise, so you see what's coming, you should be planning. And that's a frustration that I have with this.
I would agree. We know it's under construction, and we know essentially we'd be able to determine what the timetable is for that. It will be online during the current update,
exactly.
And then that update has to last 5 years. We have requested on a staff level that it be included in the update, and the State Planning Office has not yet agreed to that is the current position. So that might be something with Council's support, we might decide to pursue that as part of our official comment. There are other areas as well where we can conversations with the State Planning Office. So here's a, and this is quite technical, and forgive me, and this is, actually, I added some photographs to help differentiate the two layers because they're both shaded green. So the layer on the left, and I added a Delmarva fox squirrel. This is the Delaware Ecological Network. And the map shown on the right is another preservation layer, which is woodlands and farmlands. And one of the comments we've raised with the State Planning Office is the whether there is any duplication, and we believe there is, between some of the layers that is artificially creating double or even triple counting. And the reason we focused on this layer in particular, they're both great layers and very useful for planning purposes, but in this exercise, the environmental network layer appears to have been drawn based on the presence of trees and water, it's particularly non-tidal wetlands and fresh water that wildlife uses to survive, and you can see those wildlife corridors follow water and trees. But trees are already protected in a separate layer, and they're given -1, and water and non-tidal wetlands is given -1, and tidal wetlands is given -1, and areas that are subject to flood risk is also given -1. So the comment that we've raised with the State Planning Office is whether the environmental, the Delaware Environmental Network, the DEN layer, actually artificially creates an extra duplication of what other layers are already doing by adding another -1 to lands that are already protected for those same features. And I wanted to draw specific attention. So if you look at enlargements, and if you look at the southeast quadrant of Sussex County, and in particular, I was looking at Zion Church Road, and I was looking at those forests that exist there. If you look at the areas north and south of Zion Church Road, there is substantial similarity between the environmental network layer and the forested layer. You can see that the forested areas, due to their presence of trees and water, which wildlife needs to survive, have been duplicated, not perfectly, like for like, but with substantial similarity between the layers. And it may be, and this is something we've already had a conversation with the State Planning Office on, it may be that in our comments, should we choose to submit further comments, we could request that the state modify the DEN layer to remove any areas where there's overlap with the other areas. And that would remove any double or triple counting that would otherwise be preventing a slightly higher score.
I'm not sure. I don't quite understand why the duplication is a problem. Are you saying it creates a bigger swath of protected land than it should?
Well, the end result is that it offers greater protection. So if you have trees, you are -1 point. And if you have water, you're -1 point. But if you have trees and you have water, you get an extra negative point. It goes to procedural fairness and fairness of whether the system is introducing complete fairness by adding that extra point. Now there's the qualitative element that yes, it offers greater protection, but from a mathematical point of view, we were solely focused from a technical perspective that it's double and triple counting.
So I was going to ask the qualitative question: is the map as it's being created solely based on quantitative? And there's no qualitative overlay judgment. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's completely math-driven. So
if an area main, and because it's based on what is today, right? It's backward-looking, as John said, not forward.
100%, with some errors as well in the forestry layer, that because it's been drafted over a period of years, it's very much backwards-looking. In some cases, we've discovered trees being shown that have not been there for many years. So.
That impacts how much money the state plans to spend in a particular area. So
correct.
It has a real impact on resources.
Correct.
From the state.
Correct. It would effectively be depriving that landowner of a point that they may.
Translates to dollars not realized, right? So.
Potentially, yeah.
If this map correlates to how much money they're contributing for infrastructure, loosely speaking, I'm not sure of the formula. If we're getting artificially downgraded, are we not missing out on dollars we would otherwise get? Is that kind of the point?
Hence why fairness is important in this process. So it's because the outcomes of these maps directly determine investments.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would think our goal here is to expand as much of the map as we could to get more infrastructure dollars. But changing the overlay because of trees and water doesn't still doesn't preclude it from being, by eliminating it, say we fixed it, like I think you might be suggesting we propose, doesn't take away their ability to develop, right? Like as if we were to change it, I feel like I'm not saying this right.
So they could still be able to tweak news to the acre on the baseline zoning, right? But the state's not going to spend any money to help improve roads and so forth.
Right, like I see it only benefiting us to get us the plus 1 point as opposed to negative, right?
From an infrastructure.
Only if you want to destroy the entire environment.
No, that's what I'm saying is, Jane, what I'm saying is by changing it, I don't think it suddenly allows them to develop it. Like there's still standards. All we're doing is raising the collected points overall, that translates to more dollars.
I think once the levels are changed to make it one or three instead of four or two instead of three, it means we have a green light to develop there. And so the more you eliminate the guardrails around environmentally sensitive areas.
That's a catch 22, isn't it?
Well, I guess it is. It depends on where your priorities are. And that's why the qualitative missing element is critical.
Mr. Whitehouse, can you go back to the map? And the level map. The one thing I put a lot of emphasis on level four areas, and certainly when we're talking about where growth should occur, what's very disappointing to me is when you look at where the congestion is, that's where the state should be spending the most money, and it ends up being probably the most congested area, and everything's pointing towards growing that area. Then you look at the best roads we have in Sussex County, it's level four. And that's where I think the map is backwards. And where is the state investing? I mean, this is an investment level map. We just had a presentation from Mr. Barrasso about everywhere that's, you know, where we're being cut back and money's leaving or not being spent in Sussex County. And certainly they are spending some, but not nearly as much as they should be in levels one and two, according to this map and according to the traffic we all see, but this is the direction from the state that we're given. And that's the confusing part when you get a map like this and you're making decisions. I don't think this reflects reality because they're not spending money on roads. We do the water, we do the sewer, we do the decide where the paramedics go. So what are they investing if they're not investing in the roads? And that's the state investment map. But when has the state lived to that? If that was just a comment, no need to reply.
You don't have to defend the state here.
I guess all I was trying to say is by rectifying it and getting maybe not a negative one, like it's people still can't develop tidal wetland areas. Like that wouldn't change
your
ability.
They can cut down
ability.
Trees. They can
I don't think Denver,
they can raise up. They can.
It's not going to change.
They can. They
Denver.
Have.
It wouldn't change DENREC's requirement. They wouldn't suddenly be like, oh, it's level one now. You can start, you know, building into the marshland. It doesn't change that. It just would manipulate the map, I think, ergo the dollars that flow here. And I see that only as a benefit, unless I have that wrong. But
I think there's a strong enough reason to invest here more than they do, right? I mean, the fact that we're getting cut back at a very time when the density is increasing, it's illogical, and it's putting us in an ever worsening situation.
And to that point, I remember the secretary from Dagen Delta was here and mentioned that 34% state budget's targeted for Sussex County, which I at first glance sounded reasonable, but when you stop and think about the pace of growth here versus the rest of the state, it would almost seem like, you know, the state would want to invest more money here than just a third, you know, and really maybe our proper share should have been closer to 40 or 45% because of the pace of growth. So it's a frustration that I think we all share, you know, from the dais here that, you know, we're under a lot of development pressure, but, you know, we don't see the investment dollars flowing as rapidly as we'd like to see.
One of the points, Council, that we want to make in this exercise, and certainly I don't want to put staff in a position to feel like they have to comment on certain aspects of this, so I'll make the comment.
Right.
We have been working with the Office of State Planning related to the maps and this update cycle, and you know, the maps are only as good as the data underneath the maps, and that's the point Jamie's trying to raise related to the analytics behind this. Some of the other questionable analytics that we've raised with the office is the fact that private wastewater and water services are not considered in this map, whereas public wastewater and water is. So they have all of our information related to where the county sewer goes, but they don't have information related to the private sewer. And private sewer is driving some of the level four, not some, most of the level four growth that you're seeing. So the point was raised, maybe you should go ask the private companies to share information they'd be willing to share. I've been told that that meeting is to take place, so that's good. Another element that we were concerned, and you've raised it already, is this hospital. There is a three-digit million-dollar hospital being built in Millsboro as we speak. This map is a five-year map. That hospital will be open next summer, and yet they're giving no credit for that investment in that facility, whereby there's other hospitals and facilities in the county that they're giving credit to. Does not think like forward thinking at all. Does not look like forward thinking at all. The last point I'd raise is we said that the segment between Georgetown and Millsboro along the highway seems to be lost in their thought process. You have a new high school that just got built. You have three overpasses, one that's being built, two that are planned. And you have a level of investment being done between Georgetown and Millsboro that seems like there should be some forethought to increasing the areas from what it is today, level four, to something different. So we're raising those points to hope to get some answers. They have been very open to our comments. I'll give them credit for that. And as I started with, the map's only as good as the data that goes into the map, and we're hoping that once it goes to the next step and gets endorsed by the committee and then eventually signed off on, the data will be as good as we can make it. Sorry, Jamie, I don't know if you were finished or not.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding, though, Todd. Mr. Lawson. the map is meant to represent what is, as distinct from what either should be or will be or might be. what is the purpose? Is it to represent what is?
I'll give you the answer that was given to me, that it should not be viewed as a planning map. Uh-huh. In other words, we are not, they are not, state is not using this as a planning map when it comes to land use planning per se.
Uh-huh.
It's more along the lines of the analytics that go into the levels and then the levels driving where the state investment should go.
I see.
And that's the analytics that we're reviewing today and have some questions.
I hate to say it, but that sounds tremendously contradictory, that it's going to dictate where we're going to spend our money, but it's not a planning map.
Well, I think where the limitation is they're not looking out to say there are things in the future that may change, you know, using the hospital as an example. The hospital that is being built right now is not in the analytics of the map as we view it.
I think that's a flaw.
And yet the hospital will probably be open 4 of the 5 years that this map will dictate where state spending is invested. And I'm... Forgive me if I'm dodging, but these aren't our maps. So we really need,
right,
you know,
being critical,
OSPC to answer these questions. And they were in Georgetown last week. They provided great information, and I thought that was a wonderful exercise. We probably need a couple more of those to help us understand it.
Right.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Whitehouse.
I have one more question. What did it do to the land surrounding the Bay Health on 9, are you to say?
I have the comparison.
We're talking about future looking. That one seemed pretty glaring to me. I'm glad they fixed it.
If I go back to the differences, the side-by-side comparison. You can see that there is some more level three on 9 between 2020 version and 2025. I believe there may even be one or two parcels, or it's not parcel based, but there might be one or two areas on the north and south sides that have shifted from level three to level two. So there has been some changes along Route 9.
Coincidentally, I believe, if I could zoom in on the state updated map, the parcel where the hospital is located in Cool Spring is there we go.
Yep.
You can see that little blob of yellow right on the corner between where it says Lewis. Jamie, if you want to, just to the left of your cursor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, right there. That's it.
There we go.
Where's the hospital?
Right there.
That corner, right there.
Right there.
So we got plus 5 points for that, huh?
So that's still level, is that two?
Level three.
Yellow's three.
Three. And Cool Spring is four, just saying. So forget the roads and widening there.
Okay, that was it. Thank you, Mr. Ford.
Sure, thank you. And based upon the comments and feedback we've heard today, we have a window to submit further comments until the 10th of October. So.
You have one more thing?
I do. So.
Seriously.
Next on our agenda, we have a time extension request that has been received for Hunters Creek, which is subdivision 2022-11. So on August 6th of this year, the Planning and Zoning Department received a request for a six-month time extension request for the Hunters Creek subdivision, which is a 95-lot single-family subdivision that is located 0.33 mile west of the intersection of Powell Farm Road and Kenny Route 365 in Frankfurt, and located on the north side of Omar Road. The applicant submitted a detailed explanation of why they're seeking a time extension request, and that they've had a lot of back and forth with the Planning and Zoning Commission and DELDAR in relation to the Planning and Zoning Commission's request for a second entrance, which had to be explored, and access and emergency access that has caused a time delay. This was subject to being presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of September 17th of this year, where the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended a six-month time extension be granted. That now comes before County Council, as the final decision on whether to grant a six-month time extension request rests with County Council. And unless there's any questions from Council, I have a motion for your consideration.
Please give us your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves a six-month time extension request for the Hunters Creek subdivision, reference 2022-11.
Okay, pleasure of Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. John Ashman.
Good afternoon. We're here for permission to post notices for the Irwin Properties expansion of the Unified Sanitary Sewer District. This is in our Ocean View area, and the Engineering Department received a request from Joseph and Christoph Irwin, owners of parcels 134-16-26 and 26.01. They are adjacent to our existing Ocean View area. The parcels are on the northbound side of Windmill Road at the intersection of Central Avenue, and they are in a state planning level number one. Parcels are capable of receiving central sewer service from existing line in the back of the parcels, and they will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection. Questions?
Any questions?
No.
Nope. Do you have a motion?
I do. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Irwin Properties expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcels 134-16-26 and 2601, as presented October 7th, 2025.
Okay, pleasure of Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunbaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Medlars.
Mr. Medlars.
Brings us back to our field trip the other day.
Exactly. The same thing. Good afternoon, Mr. President. Good afternoon, Council Member. So, you know, I made some references to today's meeting at your field trip to Wolf Neck. So just for quick recap, all the moving parts at Wolf Neck. You know, it started obviously out with the facility having biosolids in it from the last 30-some years. So that's ongoing. You know, we have the floating solar project, which is going through the permitting process and the interconnection process with DP&L. That's ongoing. We're having our interactions with the Lewis Board of Public Works, which hopefully will reach a conclusion in the not-so-distant future with another executive session tomorrow at the board and hopefully followed by a workshop. Now, that has driven the electrical upgrades, which were necessary for the interim because we need to run the facility as it was, and we need to run the facility in the future in a different form. We also had to move a number of the aerators out of the Lagoon 1 into Lagoon 3. So here's that piece. And then there's the piece that we couldn't get a bid on the building itself. So you ended up with being able to award a three-quotation award for three of the contractors, giving us a price on the building for the three contractors, which were already involved in a building project for us, plus the electrical contractor that also gave us a proposal. So, not having received a bid in the first round, three proposals in the second round, you made a reward. Now, as you could see from the memorandum, all these moving parts, without default on Bancroft, triggered certainly some financial impacts. And we had some interesting negotiations back and forth. They agreed to no markup on any of the services, so their field office is not marked up. So we're paying for the direct expense. None of the overhead staff, that means the office staff, which is not in the field office, but which sits in Wilmington or Salisbury, they're not included. So I think that's a compromise. So the dollar amount we have should take us through the completion of the building. You know, we're very close to starting the building construction back up. By the end of the year, the building should be very close to being finished. So I think the recommendation is to have a change order which covers the expenses and the expenses as foresee them through the completion of the building. And these are the expenses to maintain the field staff and the field support. So that's what's here today. And last not least, I wanted to say, you remember we're also progressing on the land exchange with the state of Delaware. And our attorney is helping us with that on the deed side. We already have the plot side. So these are all the moving parts now you have in the picture. Are we ready for a recommendation?
If you have a motion, we'll take it.
Okay. I guess we answered all the questions last week, right?
That was some trip. That was a lot of information.
That was very interesting. And thank you for coming out. I'm sorry Commissioner McCarron couldn't make it, but you can more than welcome to talk to us anytime.
I'll catch him up.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, change order number 7 for contract 24-10, Wolf Neck Regional Wastewater Facility Electrical Service and Switchgear Replacement General Construction, be approved, increasing the contract amount by $64,035.25.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunbaum. Questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
And allow me a correction. I said 10, it is 7.
Okay.
Dangerous 7.
Sorry. Thank you.
My mistake.
Sure. Thank you, Hans.
Mr. Moore, introduction to proposed ordinances.
There are none, Mr. President.
All right, thank you. Next up is old business. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have one item of old business today, which is change of zone number 2025, filed on behalf of North Star Property LLC. And County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held at Council's meeting of March 11th of this year. This is a change of zone application from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C3 heavy commercial zoning district for tax parcel 334, map 5, 175.00, located on the southeast side of Lewis to Georgetown Highway, Route 9, and on the northwest and southeast sides of Beaver Dam Road, approximately 2.4 miles southwest of Coastal Highway. County Council deferred this following the public hearing for receipt of additional information and then deferred again for further consideration.
So, all right, thank you. Mr. Moore, would you read the short title, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C3 heavy commercial district for a 12.696 acre portion of a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 433.07 acres as recently surveyed, or 419.648 acres as scaled and shown on Sussex County tax map, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning number 1 through 10.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Motion to adopt.
Motion, Ms. Grunebaum.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum.
Many of the C3 heavy commercial permitted uses do not conform to the neighborhood. This is primarily a residential area with heavily used roads. The approved residential part of the development will add substantially to the daily trips and further burden Route 9 and Beaver Dam Road. Permitted uses, which attract substantial traffic from outside the development, impose unsightly commercial space, or increase noise and light pollution, are at odds with the surrounding residences. Such uses include, but are not limited to, wholesale trade establishments, warehouses, hotels, self-storage facilities, motor vehicle sales, rentals, repair services, storage facilities, and distribution centers. I cannot approve this. I vote no.
Okay. Mr. McCarron.
I'm a firm believer in having mixed uses to allow for properties to have services for its residents. And Ms. Grunenbaum is correct. This is a residential area, and it's going to be a larger residential area, on the property behind it. And while I had no voice in the hundreds of acres and houses behind it, 12 acres being considered today, I do believe it is important to have supporting infrastructure near these communities. And based upon the reasons given in planning and zoning and the testimony heard during the hearing, I vote yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
We just went through about 8 months of the work group's findings, which highlighted the need for mixed use, planned residential communities, the concept of master plan communities. And in an effort to allow people to live where they work where they live, and to take traffic off of Route 1 and to keep it on Route 9, I'm going to vote yes for the reasons stated by planning and zoning and the testimony heard at the hearing.
Okay, Mr. Riley.
Well, I acknowledge the points made by my colleagues, they're valid. But I think it's important that perhaps we send a message that we're tapping the brakes a little bit. Because I will ultimately come down on the side of Ms. Grunenbaum, and citing the reasons that she gave, I will vote no.
Okay. And I agree with Mr. Lloyd and Mr. McCarron, Mr. McCarron and Mr. Lloyd. And I believe that with residential, you must have proper commercial and things that match. So I will vote yes. This motion is 3-2, it votes and passes. Thank you. Okay, next, council member comments. Council member comments. Okay.
How much left to say after that, I guess.
We'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Rinnabell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session.